Welcome to Live with Lon. We're sure glad you're here for Live with Lon this July 4th weekend. And happy July 4th to you. Happy Independence Day. And we're going to pray for our country in just a moment when we open in prayer. So let's pray right now. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can be here today, that we can be studying the Word of God today. Father, I pray that you would not only bless our time in your Word, but I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless our nation. Lord, we have, many, many challenges as a nation right now, and internal as well as external. God, heal our land. Deal with the hatred and the vitriolic nature of what's happening in our country right now. And Lord, bring peace, bring unity back to our nation. God, I pray for the election coming up this fall. Lord, I just pray that your perfect will would be worked out. And Lord, that the person that you want elected will be elected to lead our nation, and that they will be wise in how they lead us, Lord. And hopefully consult you as they lead us, Lord. Lord, we commit now our time in the study of the Scripture to you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our hearts and speak to us deeply from your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. We are studying the Gospels. And we're moving towards the Last Supper, the betrayal by Judas Iscariot of the Lord Jesus, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. But we're not quite there yet, because there are a few passages in the Bible that deal with things just prior to the Last Supper, earlier in that week. And so what we're going to deal with today is one of these passages that we find in all four Gospels. That's unusual that we find this kind of a passage in all four Gospels. The cross, yes. The resurrection, yes. But this is not on that level of strategic importance. So, I mean, sure, it's important. But it's not the cross, Jesus' death on the cross. So it's a little bit unusual that all four Gospels cover this passage. But they do. So, are you ready? We're going to begin in Mark's Gospel, New King James Version of the Bible. Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, Jesus, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Now, Bethany, if you remember, I told you, is just over the Mount of Olives, just to the east of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. So this would have been a very, very short walk for the Lord Jesus back and forth from Jerusalem to Bethany. And also, we know this: he often stayed at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who he raised from the dead in John chapter 11. Now here, he's eating at the house of a man named Simon the leper. We have met this man earlier in the Gospels. Jesus healed this man, and this man obviously became a follower of Jesus. Okay, now let's move on and see what happens. This young lady comes in with a very costly flask of oil. In Jesus' day, this was something that was done both to revitalize the skin in a very dry and arid climate, and also as a way of honoring a person. you anointed them with oil. Okay, so, and there were some, verse 4, among the disciples and other guests, who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this waste made of the fragrant oil? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Folks, 300 denarii was almost a year's salary. Remember, I've told you a denarius was the salary, for a normal salary for one day's work. This is almost a year's salary that we're talking about here. This is a lot of money. A denarius was a small silver coin, and this is a lot of money. So people were criticizing her for doing this, saying, what a waste! What a waste! Just to pour it on the head of Jesus and then it's gone. Folks, welcome to human nature. This was a lose-lose for this poor woman. If she pours it on Jesus and anoints him and honors him, she gets criticized. If she doesn't, and people find out she didn't do it, she would have gotten criticized. Welcome to trying to work with people. All right. But Jesus said, verse 6, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always. Whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of as a memorial to her. Jesus loved what this woman did. She honored him. And also before bodies were buried of, you know, well-off people, those bodies were anointed with spices before they were buried. So he said, she's anointing my body ahead of time for my burial, which they may not have fully understood what he was saying, but we know what he was saying now. The cross is a couple days away. And he said, leave her alone. Wherever the gospel's preached, this woman, what she did, will be mentioned. Now, maybe that's why this event is in all four gospels. I think probably that's why. Because of Jesus' comment here about it being mentioned, her, what she did, in all the world, wherever the gospel's preached. Therefore, he put it, the Lord did, in all four gospels. Now, I want us to go to John's gospel and see John record this. We're in John chapter 12, and we're in verse 1. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he, Jesus, raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him, Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Now, some scholars think that this is describing a second event that occurred in Bethany, that because Mary's not named in Mark's gospel, and therefore maybe that was a different woman at Simon's house And this maybe was at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's house. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think so. I think this is the same event. And why Mary's name wasn't mentioned in Mark's gospel, I don't know. Notice here, it doesn't say in John's gospel that this dinner was at Mary's house. It just said Mary was doing the serving. So this could very easily have been at Simon the leper's house. And if you remember, she was the one, Mary was, who sat at the feet of Jesus while Martha was serving and said, "Lord, make my sister get up and come help me." And Jesus said, "Mary has chosen the more excellent thing to do, just to sit and listen and be with me." You remember that? Okay, these are these two women. Now, verse 4. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, not Simon the leper, under different Simon, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii, same as Mark's gospel, and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, Judas Iscariot, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Sounds very familiar, very similar, doesn't it? That's why I think it's the same event. Except here, in John's gospel, the woman is named as Mary. But same spikenard, same price, 300 denarii, same complaint, and the same response on Jesus' part, even to his comment about the poor. Now, in a moment, we're going to ask our most important question. But let me just say about Jesus' comment relative to the poor. The poor you're going to have with you always, and whenever you want, you can help them. But me, you will not always have with you. What does that mean? Well, was Jesus saying that we shouldn't help the poor? Of course not. The book of Proverbs says, "He who is kind to the poor, gives to the poor, lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay that person." No, we're always told in the Bible to be conscious of, as Christians, those who are in need. Of course. But Jesus is just saying, of course he knew that Judas wasn't even sincere, but he's just saying, hey, if you want to be kind to the poor, they're going to be here after my crucifixion, and then you can be kind to them all day long. But don't use that excuse to keep this woman from worshiping me. Notice here in John's gospel, it tells us that she anointed his feet with this oil, not just his head. I'm sure she did his head because Mark's gospel tells us. But she also anointed his feet. Feet got very dirty in Israel at this time because people wore sandals. And they walked on dusty roads with all kind of not so nice things all over the road with all the animals walking the roads and everything. You understand what I'm saying? And so people's feet got horribly dirty. And people, if you came into a person's house, if they really wanted to greet you properly, they gave you water to wash your feet with and get that dust and dirt and grime off. And people didn't touch other people's feet because they were so filled with germs and dirt. This is why in a little while, in a chapter later in John's gospel, when Jesus starts touching the feet, washing the feet of Peter, Peter's like, no, you don't do, no, Lord, you don't do that. We'll get there. So she not only, look what the Bible says. She not only washed his feet, anointed his feet, but she wiped his feet with her hair. Wow. Can you imagine this? So she's putting the oil, you know, on his feet, and then she's taking, not a towel, her hair, and wiping the dirt and the grime and the filth off of his feet. Wow. Pretty amazing. Okay, that's the end of our passage, but we want to ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Uh-huh, that's right. And as my friend Jackie says, Jackie Gleason, what's he say? Where is he? Come here, Jackie. What's he say? How sweet it is. Or as Jackie would say it, how sweet it is. All right. Now, what's the point for today? What do we want to take home from this passage? Folks, it's very simple. Why did Mary do what she did? Because she loved Jesus. She loved him. Not in a romantic kind of love. She loved him with all of her heart as her Savior and her God and her Lord and her Master and the Messiah and the man who cast demons out of her and as the man who raised her brother from the dead and taught her spiritual truth. She loved him with all of her heart and was willing to wipe his dirty feet with her hair. Wow. My wife always tells me, Lon, don't ever touch a woman's hair. I mean, not that I go around doing that, but she just says, don't ever touch a woman's hair. The oil's off your hand. Get on her hair. And women hate it when anybody touches their hair after they've blown it dry or whatever. They don't want it to get dirty or ruffled. I understand that. This girl, Mary, not only was her hair ruffled, but for goodness sake, the dirt and the grime that the Lord had picked up on his feet while walking these roads, when the oil emulsifying that, must have, and she's wiping this with her hair. You only do that for somebody you really love. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Now, the disciples and everybody criticized her. They didn't get it. And Jesus rebuked them and said, let her alone. She's done what she can, Mark's gospel. She can't stop the crucifixion. She can't stop my dying on the cross and my being betrayed. But she's done what she can. She's anointed my body with oil. And I understand the motivation that she has, that she loves me with all of her heart. And Jesus says to them, I'm honored, pleased with the motivation that she has in doing this. Folks, that brings us to you and me. You know, I've been a believer now for 52 years. No, I've been a believer 53 years. Wow, okay, 53 years back a couple months ago. And I've been in vocational Christian work for almost 50 years. And you learn a lot. And one of the things I've learned is that it's very easy when we're serving the Lord at church or in a missions organization or a parachurch organization or whatever, a teaching ministry, it's very easy to begin loving what we do for the Lord more than we love the Lord himself. Let me repeat that. It's very easy to begin loving what we do for the Lord instead of loving the Lord himself. So what do you mean by that? Oh, there are people, I've seen them, I've met them for a while, I was one of them, who love so much the hustle and the bustle and the excitement and the energy of serving the Lord, singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school, leading a small group, being a soloist on stage, playing in the band, leading a Sunday school class, going out and sharing the Lord, doing open-air evangelism, teaching the scripture, preaching from the pulpit, on and on and on. Being part of the food ministry, being part of the clothing ministry, working with high school students or junior high school students, teaching young people, children in Sunday school, working in Awana, and on and on and on. That, if we're not careful, we begin to love that more than we love the Lord himself. It's subtle, but it happens. And this is what Mary did not let happen. I'm sure there was so much hustle and bustle around Jesus that night at dinner. People knowing the cross was coming, he told them that. People knowing someone was going to betray him, he told them that. The Passover, the rabbis wanting to try to kill Jesus, the crowds being all around and the excitement of the crowds and him teaching in the temple, and that, you know, they were caught up with all of this, I think. And Mary just loved the Lord. She just loved Jesus. She didn't get carried away with all this other stuff. Not that any of it was bad. Not that any of the hustle and the bustle and church and service of the Lord is bad. It's not. It's good. But if we're not careful, somewhere in there, we can lose our love, our pure love for why we're doing this. And we're not doing it for the excitement. We're not doing it for the hustle and the bustle. We're not doing it because it gives us fulfillment to use our spiritual gifts. We're doing it because we love Jesus. We're doing it as unto the Lord, not as unto our own fulfillment. It's very subtle, but it happens. Mary had not let that happen. And that reminds me of a verse from the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2, in the seven letters Jesus wrote to the seven churches of the Revelation, all in modern-day Turkey, ancient Roman province of Asia, he writes the church of Ephesus, and here's what he says. He says, "You have persevered and have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." Okay, these people, the Church of Ephesus, verse 3 of Revelation 2, they were working hard, man. They were laboring for the Lord's sake. They had not become weary. They have persevered. They've had patience. I mean, this is a serving church. Watch. "Nevertheless," verse 4, "I have this against you, that you have left your first love." That you've left your first love. Who's he mean? He means himself. You've gotten so caught up in doing all of this that you've lost your first love. Your love for me. "Remember, therefore," verse 5, "from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Repent and do the first works. What's he mean by that? Hey, when we first came to Christ, you, me, Man, we love Jesus with all of our heart for redeeming us and forgiving us and taking us out of the miry clay, as David says in the Psalms, and putting our feet on a rock, for delivering us from alcohol, delivering us from drugs, delivering us from smoking, delivering us from gambling, delivering us from lust and sexual addiction, delivering us from everything in our life that was wrong and unholy. And we're so in love with the Lord for doing this that we can't even express how much we love Him. He was our first love. So Jesus says, repent and do the first works in your life. My brothers and sisters, here's what I want you to take home today. Repent and do the first works. Have you been faithful at church serving the Lord? Have you persevered? Yes. But Jesus says, repent and come back to the first works, where you loved me with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And that's why you did these things. Don't lose the motive for why you're doing these things. Not for the excitement, but for me. Repent and return and do the first things. You've lost your first love. So folks, do we read our Bible in quiet time because we love the Lord so much we can't wait to get in it? Or do we do it because we've made a commitment to do quiet time? Do we pray because we just can't wait to spend time with our beloved Lord Jesus? Or do we do it because it's just kind of what we do? We're Christians. We pray as part of our quiet time. It's worth asking. Like I said, it's a subtle thing. And you can fool most of the people most of the time. Maybe you can fool all of the people all of the time. But you know the truth in your heart. Only you know your heart. And the Lord Jesus knows your heart. Would He rather have you like the disciples who were all caught up that night at dinner with the events of the crucifixion and everything else and serving Him and being with Him? Or would He rather have you and me like Mary, who just loved Him with all of our hearts? I think He'd rather have us be like Mary, huh? That doesn't mean don't serve the Lord, but it means don't serve the Lord for the purpose of serving the Lord. Serve the Lord for the purpose of loving Jesus by your service and showing Him your love by your service. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You said in John's Gospel, John chapter 14, verse 23, if anyone loves Me, My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with Him. Dear Jesus, may we be one of these people. I make note of the fact that You didn't say, if anyone serves Me, he will be loved by My Father, and we will come to Him, and we will make a home, our home with Him. You said, if anyone loves Me. Lord, help us to repent and do the first works when we came to Christ. Lord, help us be honest whether we've lost our first love. And we need to do this. And Lord, more than anything else, may our lives be characterized by loving You with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. loving you, Lord, in life. If necessary, loving you in martyrdom. Loving you in death. Loving you for all of eternity. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. God bless you. Have a good weekend. And we'll see you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lauren.